Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
This is Turkey and this is Samos. You cannot see the difference because they are like so close from this place.
So it's like a tiny little gap between the two.
A tiny gap, exactly.
It's like a gorgeous, beautiful summer's day. This is everything that you would imagine about a Greek summer holiday. Sunshine, parasols, sun lounges.
But this is what Samos is. It's at the same moment a paradise for some, a hell for some else.
This is Dimitris Houlis. He's driving me across his home island of Samos, a Greek island in the eastern Aegean.
Here is where we have our music festival. And just 500 meters away, it's where we throw people.
What do you mean by throw people?
Dead people that happens to die here and no one cares, or we don't try enough to find a place or have a proper funeral or anything like that. We just dump them there.
Through my work as a reporter in Greece, I've known Dimitris for years. He's a lawyer at the Human Rights Legal Project, a non-profit organisation providing legal support to refugees and other migrants in Greece. I first came across him in 2020 when I was covering the story of a father who was charged with endangering the life of his small child. Father and son were on a dinghy that sank off the coast nearby as the people on board tried to cross from Turkey to Greece. Now he's taking me to the hillside pine forest where the little boy is buried.
So we're here. When we had the shipwrecks and people dead, they just throw them here, outside of the cemetery. Maybe we are on top of them. There.
It was yet another shocking story of human suffering in the Mediterranean, which since 2014 has seen an estimated 30,000 people drown while attempting the perilous journey to Europe.
So these are actually people's graves, the big lumps of stone.
Yes, and if you see there is number 33, 2016, number 28, number 30, number 34.
Dimitris defended the boy's father in court, and he was ultimately acquitted. But it was while I was covering this tragic case that Dimitris brought another issue to my attention.
His friend that was carrying his disabled mother, so he was charged as a smuggler. And imagine that the captain, the alleged smuggler, was here in the funeral with the father, and they did everything for the ceremony. So imagine the father never thought of accusing the alleged smuggler in that.
In an attempt to stop the boat crossings that so often end in catastrophe, Greece and other EU countries have made people smugglers public enemy number one.
We have decided to declare a war against smugglers.
But Dimitris, human rights groups, and the UN all assert that ordinary, vulnerable people are being caught up in the crackdown, and that some are receiving draconian sentences in chaotic trials that simply aren't fit for purpose.
We refugees.
I am from Afghanistan. I am not a refugee. I am nothing. Just I want to be.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Katie Fallon. This is Caught at the Helm. Research from last year suggests that 1 in 5 people in Greek prisons are there for people smuggling. That's more than 2,000 people in total. But there have been repeated warnings that it is not the real smugglers who are paying the price. Akif Razouli is a young man in his mid-20s from Afghanistan.
In 2019, I took the decision to leave Afghanistan because at the time the Taliban took our village. I paid 1,100 euros in Istanbul, and the money would go to the smuggler once I arrived in Greece. The captain was Turkish. We were 22 people. The smuggler put us in the boat, and we went to sea. For around 200 meters, he was with us, and then he left.
Akif's story is a common one. In recent years, those arranging the boats from Turkey to Greece are reported to have adapted their modus operandi to evade being caught. According to repeated testimonies, they load up the boats on the Turkish shore, point them towards Greece, and then leave them to their fate. Abandoned at sea, the people on board must then fend for themselves.
Some people were taking the helm, but I didn't lay a hand on it. It was dark, nighttime. The boat was about 8 meters long, made of some kind of plastic, and it was really in a bad condition. The smallest wave would have killed everybody if it had come inside the boat. It was really dangerous. And for me, it was also the first time that I had seen the sea. The Greek Coast Guard came. I was thinking that they would be nice people. They came in the boat. Their faces was covered. And they were beating people with sticks. Beating and beating. And then they towed us towards Turkey with a rope. But after, some water came into our boat. Then they were forced to take us on their boat.
The nature of Akif's specific allegations against the Greek Coast Guard make them hard to independently verify, but they are consistent with similar testimonies from asylum seekers in Greece over a number of years. Journalistic investigations, including some that I've worked on, have also unearthed evidence of illegal and often violent acts towards asylum seekers by Greek authorities. The Greek Coast Guard categorically rejects any notion of wrongdoing and points to the hundreds of thousands of people it has successfully rescued in recent years. In a statement, it said that it operates around the clock with professionalism and absolute respect for human life and human rights, in accordance with international and EU law. Back to Akif.
In the morning, they took me and Amir to the police station to ask us questions.
Akif was arrested alongside another young man from Afghanistan, Amir, who was travelling with his pregnant wife and their young daughter. Both were detained until their trial, 6 months later.
When they brought us to the detention centre, we asked, like, what is happening? They told us that Amir had been given 50 years, and me also 50 years.
That's a 50-year prison sentence.
And they took us to a very small room, with only one hole in the roof and one lamp. And by the light, I couldn't even tell if it was morning or evening. The prison was a very dangerous place. For 3 years, I felt like I was living in a world of dead people.
The vast majority of people smuggler cases take place with little fanfare and no media attention. But when Akif was in prison, new lawyers got involved in his case, including Dimitris and his colleagues.
As I told you before, we had submitted the request for release until the appeal court. The judges decided to reject our application, our request.
Repeated delays meant it was more than 2 years until his appeal was finally heard. But ultimately, the courts agreed there was insufficient evidence against Akif, completely exonerated him, and made him a free man.
I was really joyful. But I was still a bit worried because I was thinking that they might use another pretext to take me back to prison.
He also received compensation, but he found the amount derisory.
Overall, I wasn't happy, because 16,000 euros is nothing compared to the 3 years I lost. I was in hell for all that time.
Akif is now attempting to rebuild his life. But according to human rights groups and international monitors, people like him are routinely getting swept up in people smuggling prosecutions.
We did this study last year where we looked at over 80 trials involving more than 90 individuals, all of them being accused and charged with smuggling in Greece.
This is Julia Winkler, a political scientist at Borderline Europe. She says that often the person sitting nearest the controls of the boat is the one who gets arrested. But others can also be picked out.
Arresting at least one person per arriving boat or car in Greece is a routine practice by Greek law enforcement with little to no regard to the actual role or motive by the person being arrested. We had people that were arrested because they made an emergency call. We've had people that were the only person on board speaking English. So that was also an indicator for authorities to say they are part of the group that organized the trip. People that distributed water, trying to help people.
Akif's case was fairly clear-cut. He always denied driving the boat, and the courts ultimately backed him. But many of those accused of people smuggling are literally caught at the helm. Amir, the man arrested alongside Akif, who was travelling with his young daughter and pregnant wife, admitted taking the controls of the boat. Because of this, while the appeals court reduced his sentence, it still upheld his conviction for people smuggling. But he insisted that he acted out of desperation. With the actual smuggler having abandoned them, the boat was dangerously adrift.
And when they are in the middle of the sea, they have to choose.
This is Dimitris again.
But if you have your family there, you have to take action. And this is why very often we find the people with families being accused of this, because someone has to do something, someone has to touch the wheel. And this is what is happening. Just the fact that you touch the wheel can make you, for the Greek court, a smuggler.
If you listen to politicians or law enforcement authorities when they speak about the fight against smuggling, it is always about fighting criminal networks that act in an international level for profit gains and exploiting people on the move. But what the EU is doing in practice is that they have created a legal framework as well as a practical implementation that defines the crime of smuggling very broadly.
We asked the UN if the EU law that Greece is aligned with is properly in step with international law. In a statement from their refugee agency, UNHCR, they said that in many respects, no, it's not.
The smuggling protocol does not allow persons who have been the object of smuggling activities to become liable to criminal prosecution under the protocol. The smuggling protocol's protection also extends to persons who help others to irregularly enter or stay in a country where they act for humanitarian reasons.
The Greek Coast Guard told this program that it carries out its work under the guidance and orders of prosecuting authorities, and that smuggler arrests are made in accordance with current national legislation. The EU is currently updating its anti-smuggler legislation, and in a recently published briefing document, noted that it was addressing the issue of people who are being smuggled getting prosecuted as smugglers. But it is not yet clear if the proposed reforms will ensure adequate protections for people like Amir and Akif.
I didn't understand anything, actually, until I was freed. I was totally innocent.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm Katie Fallon, and this is Caught at the Helm, a look into the hundreds of people arrested for people smuggling each year in Greece. Greek laws around people smuggling have been getting progressively stricter for years. But to better understand how asylum seekers and refugees are getting swept up in these prosecutions, we have to go back to 2015.
Tonight at 10, the crisis in the Mediterranean.
These are just some of the thousands who've landed here in recent weeks.
But nearly a million have arrived in Europe.
Causing the biggest movement of people since World War II.
The Greek islands were one of the areas that bore the brunt.
In 2015, you have large-scale arrivals.
Angeliki Dimitriadis is a senior research fellow at the Hellenic Foundation for European Foreign Policy.
And it's not just the question of numbers, it was also the speed of the arrivals, right? You have thousands of people coming in on any given day across different islands of the Aegean.
All the coastline of Lesbos, for instance, the island of Lesbos, it was inundated by boats.
This is Konstantinos Moutsouris, regional governor of the North Aegean.
People here on the islands, they welcomed there, they helped very much. They were very much influenced in their everyday life. Because on an island like Lesbos, with a population of 100,000, at that time we had about 27,000 of immigrants. It's 1 to 4. It's too much, the proportion.
As local and EU politicians struggled for solutions, combating people smuggling at Europe's borders was thrust to the very top of the political agenda.
The EU goes to war against people smugglers in the Mediterranean. Its foreign policy chief says a newly established naval force should target the traffickers.
There is a sense of urgency here like never before, because for the first time there is this fleet of warships to hunt smugglers, to detain smugglers and to save lives.
Governor Moutsouris insists that it is tough anti-smuggling actions that help to protect vulnerable migrants.
These people are trying to find a better future for themselves. And so we have to behave to them quite softly, quite humanly. In prison, they bring only the smugglers, not the immigrants. The immigrants are very welcome. They try ourselves for the smugglers.
But as we have seen, it is not always so clear-cut to distinguish between the two. Asylum seekers are being caught up in anti-smuggling prosecutions across the EU's external borders. In Greece, however, the consequences are particularly severe.
So the average sentence that people get from the cases that were documented is 46 years.
Julia Winkler again.
By each person transported, the sentence gets multiplied. This is also why we sometimes see these absurd sentences of 500 years or even 1,000 years. It's in no way whatsoever proportionate to fight crime.
Clearly, nobody can actually spend hundreds of years in prison. In reality, the typical maximum sentence served in Greece is 25 years, still a considerable chunk of a person's life. But despite the lengthy prison sentences, trials themselves can happen at breakneck speed.
From the 80 trials that we monitored, the average length was more or less half an hour, with the shortest one that we documented lasting just 6 minutes.
Akif, who we heard from earlier, says at his initial trial, he had no idea what was going on.
The first trial wasn't even really a trial. They told me that this woman would be my lawyer and that she would be a free lawyer. But she didn't do anything. She didn't ask me any question. A judge asked me my name and where I come from. He called me only for 1 minute and he didn't ask me anything else. I didn't have any time at all to speak and to defend myself. But I was directly condemned for 50 years. At the time, I didn't speak English, Greek, nor Turkish. There was an interpreter. But he was speaking Pashto, and I really spoke little Pashto.
The UN told this programme that its legal aid partners in Greece had witnessed systemic problems in people smuggling trials, and that it is
concerned by deficiencies in the penal procedures.
I'm just stood by a large, blue, beautiful harbour. It's a gorgeous sunny day here in Samos. People are out, some people are having coffee, getting breakfast, people are getting ready to go to the beach. I'm about to head to the courthouse about 100 metres down the road from where I'm currently standing.
Campaigning lawyer Dimitris Houlis is defending three people who were all arrested on the same boat.
one man from Afghanistan and two from Sudan.
They are all of them accused as the smugglers. From what I have understood from the file is that the Turkish smuggler put them in the boat. They are in a survival mode. And then the Afghan who was traveling with his wife and his newborn, that was fisherman and knew how to drive, he went to save everyone else and he drove the boat until here.
How confident are you that you will get a not guilty verdict?
We are hoping for a good result, not an innocent one.
And what kind of sentence will they have if they're found guilty?
From 10 years, that means 3 years you are eligible for parole, up to 400 years.
I've just been sat in court for the past hour or so, seeing some of the proceedings happen, and it was slightly chaotic. There seems to be a lack of kind of preparedness to provide translators for the accused who don't speak English, don't speak Greek. A lot of the time was taken up trying to figure out how to get a translator. Is there a translator going to come in time? And now it's up to the defense lawyers, even though it's not usually their obligation. If they don't find someone by the deadline of about 1 p.m., then this means that their clients are going to go back to prison. They're going to be detained for another 6 months, possibly in limbo. And obviously this has a huge impact on their lives. So there's a kind of sense of exasperation, desperation. I've just left the court, and many of the cases have had two people translating. So it's Greek to English, and then English to Arabic or Farsi or Turkish. So there's been a line of translators essentially stood at the front of the court, and at some points I could see some of the lawyers and the prosecution and the judge get exasperated at the kind of issues with translation that were happening. So it can take up to 10 minutes or more just for a question to be understood and answered, and sometimes the prosecutor or the judge will say, that's not what I meant, can you translate it properly or say this. I mean, it's obviously quite a terrifying experience, being in front of court in a language you don't understand.
What we needed are interpreters that could talk directly Greek or Farsi or Arabic.
Christos is one of the court translators, translating between Greek and English.
Because, as you saw, right now, without having those interpreters there, it is very difficult. And not always the translator from Farsi to English, his English are good enough for a court case, because we're talking legal issues.
It's one of the biggest flaws of the procedure here in Greece. I think it violates your right to a fair trial. But it's something so common that we don't even mention it anymore. It's always like that.
So I've seen three boat driver cases so far today, but I've only seen one prosecution witness. So it often seems like there hasn't been a huge amount of evidence against those accused being shown to the court. Most of the evidence I've seen presented in court has been witness statements, which were taken immediately after people arrived, which are partially kind of presented to them, so it's just snippets. It's quite an overwhelming experience. Even just sitting at the back of the court is quite overwhelming at moments. The young wife of the Afghan man who is accused of being a boat driver, she's been in court all day, sitting outside with her young baby, who's been at various points laughing, clapping, playing with an empty juice carton, and obviously completely unaware of what is happening. At one point, his father asked to hold him, and the police allowed him to hold him, and he was just kind of playing with his dad's face and smiling, and it felt really strange in some ways because of how serious the nature of crime is, and yet there was this baby making the police smile and everyone smile. After waiting around for hours, Dimitri's three clients are called to the front of the court to have their case heard. It lasts for a little over an hour. There's further translation confusion and frustration. There are disputes as to who was even really at the helm of the boat, with little clarifying evidence. Then, without warning, a verdict. I was sat at the back and then realised that some of the defendants had started crying, and it was because they'd been found innocent. One of the defendants, whose wife has been sitting outside with her young baby all day, yeah, he just hugged her and he was crying.
Everyone was, I think, a bit speechless for a moment.
The mood in the room suddenly changed. You know, everyone was expecting for some jail time to be given to the defendants. No one could really believe it, to be honest. I know. It just seemed like everyone was quite elated and surprised.
And how are you feeling quickly, Dimitri?
Numb, as always. You don't feel. If you want to do this thing, you cannot feel. I'm happy to see them happy. I'm happy to see them making dreams and future plans and stuff like that. Optimistic. We're not optimistic, they are at least. But only that, we cannot feel anything. Otherwise, you know, you will burn out.
And was yesterday a normal day in court for you?
No, it wasn't a normal one. We have a judge and the prosecutor that they didn't want to lash out to the refugees for the whole thing, but to have a fair trial for them, and more than fair, to be honest. They understand the reality, they see the human side of the people. We don't have felony courts all the time. Lately we have this good result. It's not that often, it's not in every island.
We did put the detailed and serious criticisms of the Greek justice system that appear in this programme to the Greek Ministry of Justice. We asked them for an interview or a statement in response, but they never replied to our requests. The Greek government has previously said it has every right to protect its borders and does so with an approach that's tough but fair. Last year, Greece's then Minister of Migration and Asylum said the country's actions had denied smugglers hundreds of millions of euros per year. We are living in an unstable world where climate change and conflicts mean people will continue to move. They will continue to try and cross borders, and many will continue to turn to smugglers. As Greece and others struggle to protect their borders, they must decide, what actually constitutes a people smuggler? Are the right people in the dock? And how can they be guaranteed a fair trial? On a continent that prides itself on the rule of law, human rights, and justice, what's going on in the Mediterranean is a stern test of our commitment to those values. One where real human lives hang in the balance.
When I was in the sea, I was thinking and dreaming about the other world that I had heard about in Europe.
Caught at the Helm was a Whistledown production for the BBC World Service. The presenter was me, Katie Fallon, and the producer was Jack Butcher.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcasts Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.